Anytime we gather together, God promised He would be here. We're two or three gathered in His midst, He'd be here. And so we know He's here, but there's something special about not only Him being here, but Him manifesting Himself and moving in the hearts of His people. And we should never, ever take that for granted. Some people go their entire life. Sadly, there's churches that people go to, and they rarely, if ever, get to experience what we have this morning. And that's a terrible, and that's not a knock on another church. It's just a reality. I've been in so many of them, preached in so many of them, and when I left, it made me wonder if God had wrote Ichabod over the door, meaning God had departed. And God forbid that ever happens here. If it does, I will leave. I made a promise to the Lord years ago and to my family. I would not. I don't care how much I love the people or the place. Whether I'm a member or the pastor or whatever, if God is finished with a place, I'm finished with a place. I refuse to raise my family in a church or religious organization where God is finished. Because if God don't attend, there's no need in us attending. It really just does more harm than good. It gives people a false hope that you know we're doing something good by coming, but church isn't about doing something good. Church is good. When you meet with the Lord, it's and you worship the Lord, it's meeting with God, and there's nothing greater than to meet with God and His people. I've got two messages that I have started and not finished, and I have fully intended to go back and deal with one of those this morning and the other tonight and try to finish those up. But this has been one of the toughest weeks I've had as a pastor. It just seems like one call after another. I felt like almost Job had to feel. And another messenger came and brought bad news, and then another messenger came and another messenger, and it's been one of them weeks, and the burden has just been overwhelming at what people are going through. And as a pastor and a brother in Christ, we are commanded to bear and share the burdens of others that are carrying them and try to lighten the load and lift them up in prayer. And it's a supernatural thing that if you're not a pastor, you can't understand or comprehend. And I didn't until God called me to be a pastor. But when God puts people in the flock that you are called to lead and to shepherd, there's a supernatural love and a special love, and when they hurt, you hurt. And when they are broken and burdened, so are you, and that gets amplified and multiplied over many, many people. And I'm not, don't have any sad stories to tell. I'm just simply saying, I covet your prayers, and they are several in our church that are dealing with some very heavy, hard things, and some have dealt with death. It's so good to see Miss Kathy in church this morning, and I have prayed and longed for the day to that she could be back in church, and we rejoice over her being back in her place, and we love you, Miss Kathy. And then I won't go into detail, but I do want to say a word about what Brother Jackie said so briefly. And generally, I'm a lot like him in that when I'm sick or have something physical going on, some people want to be pampered and petted and everybody call and check on. But he's not that type of person, and I ain't either. If I'm sick or something like that, I want people, even my wife, to leave me alone. Just let me go be in my room and deal with it until it's over. And so I want to ask you to please respect his wishes and just pray for him and pray for Miss Anita and their family as he goes through, as they go through this. I'm not being rude, and he's not being rude, but please don't call Anita and Holly and them and try to probe and find out more. Just trust that he let you know what he wanted you to know, but for him to say anything, it is a serious matter, and so please pray for him and his family over these weeks. I've been heavy burdened over Brother Dennis Cook. He has been battling a very serious liver problem for years and years, and something that would ultimately take his life. And as the years have rolled on, just by the grace of God and prayer being answered, he's continued to get good numbers. But then he had a tumor come up again, and was going to have to be going to have that taken care of. But in the process, me and this church have been praying for Brother Dennis for a long time over this situation. And he called me one day this week, and my days run together, and I was on the phone dealing with somebody else, and I couldn't click over, and not 10 seconds after I didn't answer, Cheryl texted me and said, I need you to call Dennis, and it's important. And so I did, and he said, I need you to come by the house, preacher, and sit down and go over some things about my test results. And so obviously I thought, you know, the worst, and I prepared myself and began praying and wondering if we was going to be planning a funeral or one, didn't know what. But I got over there, and we sat down, and he pulled out some papers and began telling me about the procedure he's going to be having coming up in a couple of weeks. And he said, but me being 71 years old, he said, I didn't even know this was possible. He said, but my doctor called me, my liver doctor called me, and he's got one of the best in the country. And they approved him for a liver transplant, and that is unheard of at his age, and being as ugly and mean as he is. I'm just kidding. But honestly, that is an absolute miracle and an answer to prayer. And I want to say thank you on his behalf and Miss Cheryl's behalf for praying. And please don't stop. They told him that it's very possible that within 6 to 8 months he could have a new liver. And so that is absolutely wonderful news. And that's so once that process begins, they will be having to basically live in Charlotte back and forth for a good long while. But please be praying for Brother Dennis and his family, and rejoicing. And know that God does hear and answer prayer. He absolutely does. And there's so many others, and I won't take any more time this morning to go into what many are going through. Many have asked that I not say anything publicly anyway, but what church is for. I mean, it's not just for that, but we are not just a building with a steeple that come and preach and sing and go through religious calisthenics, but we are the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the building of Christ, but we are the family of God. And we are this local assembly. Morningstar Baptist Church is a family. And I mean this. I'm closer to my church family than I am many, many of my blood family. And I love you, and I mean that. And I think we should treat each other that way. We are family. When one has a need, we ought to try to meet it. When one has a hurt or a burden, we ought to all get under the load and help bear it. And think about people who don't have a church home and a church family, and they have to face life all on their own. And even worse, people that don't have the Lord, don't know the Lord. But being saved, if God's give you a church and a church family, we are blessed beyond measure to have a family that loves us and that loves the Lord, and that we can come together, worship together, raise our children together, and see each other's family and friends be saved, and see major highlights happen in their life, and baptisms and marriages, and laugh together and cry together, but see others' kids be saved. And I mean, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. And one of the highest privileges and gifts God give us is the local church. And if you're not a member of a local church, I would strongly encourage you to put that at the top of your priority list, because you, as a Christian, every Christian needs to belong to a church. And I know we've got a host of people here that have been coming for a long time and are faithful, more faithful, sadly, than some that are members. But I'm not trying to pressure you, and you know I don't ever mention it to you, but don't get in the root and the rut of just continuing on as if it's just okay. You need to be a member somewhere. And if it ain't here, then find and pray and beg the Lord to give you direction, because sheep with no shepherd will scatter. And you need to belong to a church somewhere. And again, I'm not trying to pressure you, but I felt it necessary to mention that this morning. And so make that a priority on your prayer list that God would show you. And I promise you, we are praying for you that God give you discernment and direction for where He wants you to be. And then once He shows you, make that step and don't look back, and God will bless you for it. Well, our time is getting gone, but I want you, if you will, take your Bible and go to the book of Psalms, chapter 27, the 27th Psalm. And when I have 30 or 40 minutes to preach a message, I don't never get finished, so it being 10 minutes or 7 minutes till 12, I don't even know if I'll get finished with the introduction, but we'll do our best. Also, if you would, continue praying for Miss Wanda Presley and Steve. Pray that she can get better, or they can get back in church. And it's good to see Brother Jerry back. He'd been out with COVID for a while, and hopefully we'll have all of our church back soon. Also, pray for Donnie Jones. He's mentioned it Wednesday, but he had to have surgery, fell and broke his leg in a couple of places. So pray for them, if you would. Psalm 27, If you're there, say amen. Verse 5, the Bible says, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." And we'll stop reading there, but I want to read it again. "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." And I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on the subject, sheltered in the arms of God. They just sang about it. Boy, ain't you glad that if you're saved, you're not just saved, but you are sheltered in the arms of an almighty God. I'm thankful that I have a Lord and a Savior that has a place to shelter me. I just made mention of his church, and I'm grateful and I'm thankful for the house of God. And I'm sheltered in Christ, and you are as well. But I'm also sheltered, as the verse said, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me and shall set me upon a rock." At least twice in that verse, the Lord is telling us he has a, not only does he shelter us in his person, but he shelters us in his place, and his place is his house. And the place that the Lord shelters me is in the house of God. And be thankful this morning you've got a church where you can find shelter. I mean this, we take it for granted that we just have a church to go to every Sunday and every Wednesday, but you'd be amazed at how many people do not have a church. Not because they don't want to drive 10 or 15 minutes, or not because they just choose not to go, but there's no church anywhere around for them to go to. I know people, I've had people call and asked if I would come pastor for them, that have been praying for a pastor to come and start a church for over a decade. People just pleading to have a church. And we come in and week out, and I'm guilty of this, and never even think about how blessed we are to have a place that we can be sheltered in the house of God. I'm thankful in this shelter, the house of God, it's a place I find safeguard. I find in the house of God a shield. I find shade. I find security in the house of God. I find smiling people. And I find probably one of my favorite things that I find shelter and solace in is I find my siblings, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And boy, I'm thankful. I'm not a homeless Christian. I have a Christian home. I have a home church, and I have a heavenly home. And I'm thankful my Savior shelters me, and I find shelter in the house of God. Number one, hurriedly, my Savior shelters me when times are stormy. And I mentioned earlier, it has been a week of storms, one after another after another. But the Bible said in Psalm 89, verse 9, "Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them." When the storms rise up in our life, I can go to the Lord and to his sanctuary and find shelter in the time of storms. You know, people who don't care anything about the church, and they could take it or leave it, hit or miss, and it's, Brother Jackie, I've just been pastoring long enough and been around church long enough to know, and you have as well. Some people, and we even talked about this yesterday, if you look around and see somebody not in their spot, alarm bells goes off because they're so faithful. And I told him, there's been times I've let the service be late starting because I'd look over and see Brother Ned not in his place, and I'd say, there's something wrong, or Brother Ned be here, and I'd step outside and make a phone call, and others. And that's how you ought to be as a believer. That's how you ought to be as a church member. People, when you're not here, people should, alarm bells should go off. People should say something's wrong, because that's how important church is. That's how important the house of God and this shelter is. It should, and I say this a lot, but it's true and worth repeating, but the church is the hub that our life should revolve around. Not our job, not our career, not our school or our hobbies or our habits, but the house of God, the pavilion, the shelter is where we should, it should be the hub that all the spokes of our life rotate and revolve around. In his shelter is where the Lord deepens my faith. My faith increases to trust his help in storms. My faith increases to trust his hand in storms. This morning, I know many of you are in the storm of your life and you're facing things you never dreamed you'd face. And let me encourage you, don't run from his shelter. Run to him. Run to him. So many times people, when trouble come and when the black storm clouds come and hover over their head, people either get angry at God or upset with God, and they don't understand or comprehend why God would allow this storm to come into my life. And so rather than running to the shelter, when the rain begins falling and the wind begins blowing and the lightning begins crashing, instead of running to the shelter, people will run away from it, and there they are out in the elements, and the rain pounds on their head and the wind blows against them, and they're left out there to themselves in the elements, only to make their storm experience so much worse. I have lived and had friends, and even now there's a horse pasture behind my house, and when these storms come and the cold weather comes, a lot of people have stables and places for the animals to get in out, a shelter for when those times come, they can get in out of the elements and out of the storm. And I won't call names, but I think it. Listen, I'm not a tree hugger nor an animal lover. I shoot and kill them to eat them. Matter of fact, I'm going to be eating some deer today. And they on the smoker as we speak, so I got to hurry to make sure it don't burn. So y'all can breathe easy. I'm going to get you out of here on time. No, I'm kidding. But I say this. I think it's cruel to have animals and not take care of them. I think if you're going to have horses, I think you ought to have somewhere for them to shelter. And I watch horses all the time. And freezing rain and freezing cold temperatures. And there are those horses try to get up under a little limb and up under a couple of little limbs that have no leaves. And just the rain falls on them and they huddle up together and they do the best that they can, but they have nowhere to run. They're fenced in, but they have nowhere to go to get to shelter. But God thought enough of his children not to leave us that way. He didn't put us in a pen. Here we are in this world. But thank the Lord, he give us his house and he give us his hand and he covers us and he give us his wing and he shelters us. But thank the Lord for the local church where he thought enough of us to where he wanted his children. He knew storms would come. He knew heartache would come. He knew tragedy would come. He knew sickness would come. And ain't you glad that God has a shelter where you can come and you can rub shoulders and hug necks and get in an altar and pray one with another and beg God under the shelter and the umbrella of His hand and seek Him for answers and get grace to help in a time of trouble and get mercy from Him. And maybe you've been out in sin and at a distance from Him, and maybe you've been out in the elements of the world and God's allowed a storm to rumble through your life to draw you and to push you back to the shelter. But I tell you, it gets old in a hurry. Oh, it may seem fun to run out through the fields of life with no shelter, and you may feel free. Some of you young people, listen to me. And you older ones too. It may feel fun and free to run away from the shelter and to break out of the fence. But I promise you, let the storms roll in. Let the cold come. Let the dark nights come and the coyotes begin to hound. The hounds of hell begin chasing you and there's nowhere to run. It's just constantly running and running, and you will run yourself ragged and you will get to a place where you hate life itself, because God designed it to where He built a shelter for you and He built a place that you could run to. And that's His house. And boy, I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it. Do you trust His help and His hand through the storms? Not only His shelter is where the Lord deepens my faith, but His shelter is where the Lord directs my focus. I tell you, when you're facing storms, it's easy to lose focus. It's easy to get your eyes on the effects of the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see the trees blowing, the effects. You can see the leaves blowing and rustling, and you can feel the effects, and you can see the rain and feel the rain, and you can see the lightning, and it's easy to get your eyes fascinated on this or that and distracted but listen to me, and lose focus. But thank the Lord, listen to me, His shelter is where the Lord directs my focus. When I come into His house and I'm facing hell by the half acre and I don't have answers, and people call, and even me being the preacher, people call and say, "Preacher, what'll I do? And preacher, give me something from the Word of God. How am I supposed to handle this? What am I supposed to do?" Over and over, my phone has blew up. I'm surprised it's still even working this week. I'm surprised it hadn't heated up and blowed up this week. It's just rang, 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 rang. Text after text, message after message. What do I do? How do I handle this? I'm overwhelmed. How can I make it? How can I do? And listen to me. It's coming into the shelter of His house. It's coming into the shelter of His house. And that's where He will give you focus, and He'll increase your faith, and He'll speak to you through His Word. He designed it that way. He made it to where you could come in and come in out from the elements of the world and find a haven of rest, and come in and be fed from His Word. When you're hungry and you've lost focus and you don't know which way to go, you don't know which step to take, you don't know which way to walk and go, God will bring you into His shelter, and He'll speak to you and He'll guide you into all truth, and He'll say, "Stop. Go this way, go that way, make this decision, make that decision." And when you've lost focus, ain't you glad there's a shelter that you can come into and get focus and refocus? This world's lost all focus. This world don't know whether it's coming or going. But thank the Lord, we're not of this world. We're pilgrims passing through. But while we're passing through, even as believers, we too, especially when the storm is beating in your face and you overwhelmed and you've just got the worst news of your life, or you just buried your husband, or it's easy for your eyes to get so watered and for the pressure to get so heavy and hard that you just lose focus.
And not only do you need the house of God, and do you need the sanctuary of God and the shelter of God, but as I mentioned, this is the family of God. You need people that of like faith. You need your brothers and your sisters who will put arm in arm and bend their knee with you and get under the load with you and carry the yoke. And listen to me. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest." When you've lost focus, and even come close to losing your faith, come to the shelter. Come to the shelter. Don't run from it. Amen. Run to it. Amen. So many. Amen. So many, when facing a storm, run from it.
Right,
only to their demise. Yeah. Boy, I'm just giving a personal testimony this morning. If it's helping me, I hope it helps you. But I thank God for the shelter of the house of God. It directs my focus, deepens my faith. Storms will distract you from focusing on what God wants you to focus on. You remember Peter, he took his focus off Jesus, and what happened? Out on that storm, he walked on the water, and remember what he did? Because of the storm, he got his eyes off Jesus and he began to focus on the storms and the waves and the winds. And the Bible said immediately he began to sink. And if you came in this morning and you're sinking, and by the way, you don't need me to tell you you're sinking. When you trying to talk and you're sucking more water than you are air, you know you're going down. When pressure and stress has gripped you so tight you can't breathe, you're sinking. When worry has overwhelmed you to the point that all you can do is worry, you can't sleep at night, you bite your fingernails to the quick, you got to have a bottle of Maalox by you. Listen to me, worry is the opposite of faith.
That's right.
And God's give you and me a place to come in and realign our focus and strengthen our faith. And it's in His house. Boy, I'm grateful. Peter took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink into the waters of the storm. However, underneath the Savior's shelter, He directs my focus. I can focus on His Word underneath His shelter. I can focus on His worship underneath His shelter. It's foolish to stand out in the middle of a storm worrying about worrying about whatever is going on in your life. It's foolish to stand out in the rain. It's foolish to stand out. I close with this morning. I was playing golf up here at Pacla years ago, and a guy come up and said, "Hey, you mind me playing with you?" And I said, "I don't mind. We're walking," which that lets you know it's years ago, because ain't no way I'd be walking that place these days. It's mountains. And we got on hole number 3. Coming down the hill, and big pond at the bottom, and lightning come out of the sky, street lightning. I mean, pow, hit a tree and blow the tree apart, literally 30 yards from us. And we out there with metal golf clubs. Been long enough, it wasn't graphite shafts back in. And this nut, this fool, I said, "I'm heading out. You don't walk with me back to the clubhouse or run? I'm out of here." He said, "Oh, don't let that scare you." And he pulled his one iron out of his bag and held it up toward God and said, "Even God can't hit a one iron." I didn't even take time to say bye. I just said, "You fool." The fool that said in his heart, "There's no God." And I promise you, God can sink the Titanic, and God can hit a one iron and the man holding it.
Amen.
But how foolish to stand out in a storm when God gives you a shelter. How foolish is it to face the storms of your life when God's give you a place to come in and to seek shelter and to get help. I'm not here this morning preaching at you and casting stones and trying to rebuke you. I come to exhort you and to encourage you, to let you know God give you a shelter. And whether it's some kind of medical condition or some financial condition or a marital problem or a child gone astray, whatever you're facing, God has given you a shelter. Don't be found standing out in the storm when God provided you a shelter.
Amen.
And if the shelter keeps you warm and dry and brings help and soothing to your soul and peace and comfort during the storm, and it does, then don't be so ungrateful that when God lets the sun shine again, that you forget about His shelter. Because it's just as sweet and it's just as needed when the sun's shining as it is when the rain's falling.
Right.
And by the way, those who's in the shelter, when your storm and when your world's falling apart and when the waves are crashing in over your head and you can't hardly make it, it's those siblings, it's those brothers and sisters in Christ who are there for you. And so when the sun's shining for you, and when life is good for you, and when your bank account's full and you have need of nothing and nobody's died in your family and no bad medical reports in your family, hey, it's then when your children are living for God, it's then that you come to the shelter and minister to those who may just barely crawl in and barely make it in and wonder if they even could get to the shelter. And we must summons them and help them get here. And then when they do, it ought to be a place that they can get their focus back and their faith strengthened.
Amen.
By the grace of God and by the people of God.
Amen.
That's what church is. It ain't about chandeliers and padded pews and how good a choir sang. By the way, you did tremendous this morning. It ain't about eloquent speakers and preachers. No, the church is people who are saved. It's a hospital for the hurting. And it's a shelter for those in storms that are barely holding on. And I plead with us all, don't take the shelter for granted. And His shelter is where He demolishes our fear. Last verse, I promise. Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. I know some of you are facing things. I don't care how strong of a man or how mighty of a woman you are. Fear has gripped your mind and your heart. And what time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. If you trust the Savior, then trust His shelter. And stay underneath His shelter. Because God can and will calm your storm. And I'm going to deal with this tonight, but God controls the storm that you're in. When the storms are raging, run to the Savior. And the Savior's found in His shelter. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, we love You, Lord. We thank You. Thank You for such a sweet service. Thank You for such a sweet spirit, God. Thank You for manifesting Yourself, God. Thank You for coming to church with us this morning. God, You welcome, Lord, in and every time, Lord. I personally invite You to come, Lord, and be with us. God, thank You for the shelter. God, thank You for the sanctuary. Lord Jesus, thank You for being a Savior that loved us enough. Lord, You love Your church. You love Your children, God, enough, Lord, that You provided it for us. You paid for it with Your own blood. You're coming back for it, Lord. I thank You for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I thank You, God, Lord, for that one that's lost focus, Lord, I pray, Lord, they'd get their focus back this morning. For that one that's lost faith, their faith is waning, I beg of you, Lord, help them, God, to keep putting one foot in front of the other and finding their way back to the sanctuary, back to the shelter, God, that they could get strength to go another mile. God, help them to see. Help them to look through the clouds, Lord, through the storms, and see that the sun will shine again. We trust you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, as these are praying, you do business with the Lord.